Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, it's almost time for the mini budget, and we're joined now by Reza Ismail, who's head of bonds at Prescient Investment Management. Reza, great to have you with us. And this time, hopefully, it's a mini budget that doesn't come with the drama of February's three-draft VAT saga. The fiscal tightrope remains, though. Expenditure is still running hot. We see the deficit looking wider than planned, yet there's been a flicker of hope from stronger than expected revenue collections on the back of what we've seen with gold and precious metals. So let's just start by framing where we are. When you look at the fiscal picture, kind of not quite falling apart, is it? But not fixed either.
Thanks very much for having you on your show, just to start off with. But I would actually disagree with you slightly. I think that there is plenty of room for, in fact, for some upside surprises in the medium term budget policy statement. So, I mean, general consensus is that, I mean, you're looking now at a main budget deficit that has actually narrowed to around 4% of GDP. I mean, that number was at about 4.6% of GDP. And largely sort of like the kind of dynamics that feed into that are that revenues have largely kept in line, albeit that there's still the possibility that corporate taxes, surprise a little bit to the upside, specifically from the mining sector. So revenues have more or less kept in line, but expenditure, I mean, there is a lot of evidence that seems to suggest that there's been some underspending, right? Oh. You know, so the expenditure side of it, I mean, if you just look at the main two lines on, let's call it the national income statement, as it were, so the expenditure side has actually performed quite well. And that's why I say the general modeling view is that, you know, you'd actually get a main budget deficit that is actually narrower than what had previously been projected.
Ah, that's great news. That really is fantastic news. You know, that underspending, though, does then translate into, at a local government level, also what we're seeing in terms of a lack of maintenance and infrastructure and all the rest of it. But I think fiscally, that does start to really paint a significantly improved picture.
Indeed it does.
We've seen borrowing costs, South Africa's 10-year yield spiking to nearly 11% after those early budget issues that we had with the last budget, but we've now come all the way back down to 9%, and BlackRock recently saying that our bonds are amongst the best in the emerging market world. Given that backdrop, how might local debt markets react to this mini budget if we continue to show this improved trend and trajectory, and at least sticking to what we're saying we're going to do?
Yes, no, absolutely. So just picking up on your initial comments, So for a long time, South Africa was largely, I mean, sort of the pick of the bunch with regards to, I mean, if we can almost just picture a graph that plots our real yields against the credibility of the Reserve Bank, right? So if we almost could imagine a graph of that nature, then we'd almost score like in the very top right-hand corner of that kind of graph, like very, very high real yields and a very, very credible central bank. So that's why for a long time, South Africa has almost been the emerging market bond destination of choice for those reasons. And now what we've seen, largely on the back of a recalibration of inflation expectations, we are seeing, well, we have seen that migration downwards in yields that you spoke of, from somewhere certainly north of 11%, if we look at the 10-year area now, to something with a 9% handle. I mean, that is a very marked compression in yields, but that has been driven, as I say, from a repricing of inflation expectations. And that again ties into the largely held view that we do, in fact, have a very credible Reserve Bank, and the Reserve Bank will be able to produce an inflation signature that is consistent with what they're communicating, i.e. a number around 3%. So indeed, it has been a quite positive time for the bond market, and they will look upon the comments that I made a little bit earlier on about the expenditure discipline. The bond market will look at that a little bit more favorably as well.
When it comes to revenue, it does look like we're tracking to raise significantly more revenue than we had penciled in, thanks largely to what we've seen in precious metals. How much more are you modeling?
It's difficult to put a number onto that. I mean, we've obviously seen a boon in commodity prices. Also, things like gold has obviously skyrocketed. I mean, not that we held the position of gold exporters that we once had, but the general commodity basket price, has certainly been supportive. And it remains to be seen how that will actually translate to corporate income taxes, as I mentioned in the beginning. It's very hard to actually, put a number on that. But certainly that is a line item where that will usually find a voice. But the propensity for the surprise is certainly on the upside.
But it's obviously one that Treasury shouldn't bank on, certainly as a you know, once a fiscal cushion, it's nice, but we know, you know, it's cyclical, and that money needs to go back into very productive use, maybe paying down further debt and that kind of thing. Bond investors don't just buy yield, though. They buy growth. They buy governance. We're off the FATF grey list. There are some encouraging signs on the reform front with Transnet and obviously Eskom. Where does structural reform now rank among the factors that would help flatten that yield curve further and draw in more long-term capital?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. I think that, I mean, if you, there's usually a trifecta of things that get quoted, you know, at each of these windows, the national budget in February and then sort of the mini budget October, November side. And that is three items, right? The first one is, in fact, weak capital formation, right? You know, so very low, you know, capex at a national level. The second one is, you know, low business confidence. And the third one is policy uncertainty. So if you take that trifecta, those are usually the things that are scuppering growth, you know, at a very general level. Now, what one can say in terms of structural reform would basically feed into all of those three points that I just listed. I mean, like if there was greater transparency and bigger, more concerted drives for structural reform, that would certainly improve capital formation. That would certainly go some way to addressing low business confidence. And in some way, I mean, it could give a little bit of alleviation to the concerns that people, that investors may have around policy uncertainty. So I do think structural reform is something that needs to be pushed, you know, quite credibly. But I do think that there has been some strides in the right direction, you know, for this in the past couple of budgetary windows.
Reza, as a last question, I've got to ask you, if you were edifying Enoch, we used to have tips for Trevor, we now edify Enoch. What would your one tip or what would you want to hear from him in the speech from a bondholder's perspective that would reinforce confidence?
Well, hold the line would be a good statement. So hold the line. Hold the line, meaning that in the same way that there has been some evidence of discipline with regard to, as I said in the beginning, the expenditure side of our sort of national income statement. So hold the line with regards to not capitulating with regards to unwarranted expenditures. I mean, that would be a very, very good prize we could land. And then also if there could be some pronouncement, I know I have already mentioned the move about inflation or the inflation target. But if there could be some movement in concert with regards to the comments that the SARB has already made with regards to its preference for a 3% target, if there could be some comments from the finance minister to the effect that ourselves, being National Treasury and the SARB, are on the same page, that we do want the same inflation target and we are supportive of that, that would be a great prize to land as well, if we could hear that from the minister.
Absolutely. And we know that would then mean that the increase in expenditures wouldn't go up at the 4.5% that they tend to. It would then go up at 3%, which it becomes a bit of a political squabble then at a cabinet level over budgets and that kind of thing. But it does look like there's a detente between the Treasury and the SARB. Reza Ismail, thank you very much. Head of Bonds at Prescient Investment Management. Real pleasure having your perspective ahead of what's shaping up to be a really fascinating mini budget for the markets and fiscal credibility. Take care.
Absolute pleasure to be on your show. Thanks very much.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.